This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Fanatical Prospecting, the ultimate guide for starting sales conversations and filling the pipeline by leveraging social selling, telephone, email, and cold calling. Written by Jeb Blunt, performed by Jeb Blunt and Jeremy Arthur. Law of the Universe: nothing happens until something moves. Law of Business: nothing happens until someone sells something. This book is dedicated to Bob Blackwell, the best sales manager I ever had.
Foreword. For 25 years, I've hoped for a book like Fanatical Prospecting, and never has this powerful message and valuable advice been needed more than it is today. Like a prophet, Jeb Blunt boldly points out the lies of the loud, popular nouveau sales experts whose deadly advice leads salespeople and sales leaders astray. These experts preach to all who will listen that prospecting, proactively pursuing prospects, no longer works. What's particularly dangerous about this false teaching is that it is exactly what the struggling, reactive salesperson wants to hear. Why do the hard work to prospect and self-generate new sales opportunities when some guru lets you off the hook by telling you that it's old school and doesn't work anymore? Why block time to pick up the phone if instead you can tweet, write blog posts, or play for hours posting comments in a LinkedIn group? The truth, as Jeb so eloquently shares, is that there is no easy button in sales. There is no magic bullet or secret sauce. No one sales tool, gimmick, or mystical new process guaranteed to fill your pipeline. In spite of what the social selling Kool-Aid pushers and inbound marketing companies tell us, the truth is that top producers and sales superstars are fanatical prospectors who take personal responsibility for identifying and creating their own sales opportunities. When a company's sales organization is failing to make its number or reach its potential, it is not because its salespeople can't present well, are ineffective closers, or lack the skills for offering insight or challenging prospects. It's rarely because of a deficit of talent. The reason most sales organizations are not making their numbers is that the pipeline is anemic because the sales team is not prospecting. Prospecting not only still works, but it's the fastest and most effective way to accomplish exactly what this book's subtitle promises: opening sales conversations and filling the pipeline. Jeb Blunt knows prospecting. He is an authority on this subject because he was an all-star record-setting salesperson and executive sales leader before building his own wildly successful sales training and talent management company. Today, he transforms sales organizations by helping them accelerate performance and speaks to hundreds of companies across the globe each year that are eager to hear his inspiring message about what it takes to reach peak performance fast. In Fanatical Prospecting, Jeb leaves no stone unturned and holds nothing back. He shares why we need to prospect, exactly what to do, and how to do it. New sales are the lifeblood of a business. Nothing is more important than securing discovery meetings, conversations, appointments, and sales calls with potential customers. And that is exactly why this is the most important book ever written on this topic. If you are a sales leader or salesperson looking for help creating more new sales opportunities, then this book is for you. But be warned, once you read Fanatical Prospecting, there will be no more excuses. From understanding why and how we must interrupt prospects, to jealously guarding our precious golden hours for selling, Jeb provides a comprehensive guide to increase sales fast. There is practical, powerful advice on using every means: social selling, email, telephone, text messaging, networking, referrals, in-person prospecting, available to start sales conversations and create new opportunities. If you picked up this book because you've never prospected for new business, or you are struggling to hit your numbers, congratulations. I promise that if you follow the prescription Jeb provides, your results are about to improve dramatically. And if, like me, you're a long-time believer in prospecting, this book will take your game to completely new levels. Mike Weinberg, the new sales coach and author of New Sales, Simplified.
Here's a special note about free prospecting resources that are available with this audiobook. This is the longest book of the seven that I've recorded, and still it was impossible to cover everything you need to know about prospecting. Also, with the shifting landscape of technology, prospecting tools, apps, and social media, things are changing so fast that I needed a place to keep you updated on tools, trends, and techniques that will give you an edge while filling your pipe. So I built fanaticalprospecting.com. There you will find dozens of free guides, articles, podcasts, videos, virtual training programs, and reports that supplement the book and expand your knowledge base. So as a special bonus to thank you for purchasing this audiobook, you get free access valued at over $499 to these resources. Later in Chapter 7, I'm going to give you an exclusive code that gives you free pro-level access to fanaticalprospecting.com, so keep listening and stay tuned. Chapter 1. The Case for Prospecting. There are bad salespeople, mediocre salespeople, good salespeople, consistent salespeople, and then there are the superstars. The elusive talent that companies and sales organizations spend billions of dollars to identify, recruit, retain, and emulate. The coveted top 20% that produce 80% of the sales. Superstars out-earn other salespeople, taking home almost all the available commissions and bonuses. They win the trips, prizes, spiffs, and the recognition that the also-rans so badly crave. And they are not one-hit wonders. Superstars deliver year in and year out, and they tend to stay on top over the long term. Superstars are good at selling. They've got the talent and the skills. They're competitive and have the drive to perform. They understand how to manage the sales process, ask great questions, deliver winning presentations, and close the deal. They have exceptional people savvy, high emotional intelligence, and a winning mindset. But here's the thing. So do lots of salespeople. Lots of salespeople possess the drive and hunger to succeed. Lots of salespeople have the intelligence, talent, skills, and education to be top performers. Lots of salespeople are competitive, understand the sales process, and know how to ask for the business. Yet they consistently underperform the superstars. And that's what leaves so many salespeople and executives scratching their heads and wondering how the elite top 20% produce such massive results year in and year out. It's why HR managers are frustrated that their complex and expensive hiring assessments aren't as predictive of sales success as promised. It's why legions of academic researchers spin their wheels searching for the holy grail of sales that they believe will magically turn all salespeople into top performers, and why corporate executives eagerly consume their flavor-of-the-day promises. It's why chief sales officers and sales vice presidents chase one fad after another, desperately clinging to the latest expert who wins the annual Everything in Sales Has Changed beauty contest in hopes of reviving their failing sales organization. And it's why so many salespeople and entrepreneurs yearn for the secret to gaining income stability through real lasting success in sales, yet that secret always seems just out of reach. The real secret to sustained sales success. The path to superstar level success in sales is brutally simple. Simple, mind you, not easy. It's a paradox of basics, a truth that is so blatantly obvious it has become impossibly invisible, a truth that remains frustratingly elusive for most salespeople, causing so many promising, intelligent, talented people to fail miserably in sales, and likewise, businesses to close their doors and entrepreneurs to crash and burn. So what's the secret that separates superstars from everyone else, and why do they consistently outperform other salespeople? The answer is fanatical prospecting. Superstars are relentless, unstoppable prospectors. They are obsessive about keeping their pipeline full of qualified prospects. They prospect anywhere and anytime, constantly turning over rocks, looking for their next opportunity. They prospect day and night, unstoppable and always on. They are fanatical. My favorite definition of the word fanatical is motivated or characterized by an extreme uncritical enthusiasm. Superstars view prospecting as a way of life. They prospect with single-minded focus, worrying little about what other people think of them. They enthusiastically dive into telephone prospecting, email prospecting, cold calling, networking, asking for referrals, knocking on doors, following up on leads, attending trade shows, and striking up conversations with strangers. They don't make excuses. Oh, this is not a good time to call because they might be at lunch. They don't complain. Nobody's calling me back. They don't whine. The leads are bad. They don't live in fear. What if she says no? Or what if this is a bad time? They don't procrastinate. I don't have time right now. I'll catch up tomorrow. They prospect when times are good because they know that a rainy day is right around the corner. They prospect when times are bad because they know that fanatical prospecting is the key to survival. And they prospect even when they don't feel like prospecting because they are driven to keep their pipeline full. Fanatical prospectors carry around a pocket full of business cards. They talk up strangers in doctor's offices, at sporting events, in line to get coffee, in elevators, at conferences, on planes, trains, and anywhere else they can get face-to-face with potential customers. They get up in the morning and bang the phone. During the day, they knock on doors. In between meetings, they prospect with email and text. At night, they connect with and engage prospects on social media. And before they quit for the day, they make even more calls. The enduring mantra of the fanatical prospector is one more call. Prospecting is the air they breathe. They don't whine like babies about not having enough leads or cry at the coffee machine with all of the other losers about how they don't understand why no one is buying today. They don't blame the sales manager, the company, products, services, or the economy. They get moving, take responsibility, and own their territory. They generate their own leads and through hard work, determination, and perseverance, their own luck. Superstars are aware that failure in sales is not caused by a deficit of talent, skills, or training, not a poor territory or inferior product, not subpar communication and presentation skills, not a failure to ask for the business and close, and not terrible sales managers. The brutal fact is the number one reason for failure in sales is an empty pipe, and the root cause of an empty pipeline is the failure to prospect. Yet countless salespeople and sales leaders who marvel at the consistent year-in and year-out performance of superstars are blind to the real reason for their success. Unwilling to accept that the foundational root of all success in sales is a fanatical focus on prospecting, they waste time tilting at windmills on their quixotic pursuit of fads, silver bullets, and secret formulas that they believe will deliver them into the arms of success with little effort. In search of the easy button. Lose weight with no effort, the announcer says, over an image of models admiring their ripped abs. With this revolutionary breakthrough pill, you'll never have to worry about your weight again. Eat what you want, forget about exercise, just take this pill and you'll have the body of your dreams. If these commercials didn't work, the companies that run them would quit. But they do. In his book Spartan Up, A Take No Prisoners Guide to Overcoming Obstacles and Achieving Peak Performance, Joe DeSena explains that easy is the greatest marketing hook of all time. So companies promise again and again that you can lose weight, flip houses, or get rich with no pain, no sacrifice, and no effort. And their phones ring off the hook, even though intuitively most people know these promises are overhyped and not true. It's just human nature to seek the easy way out. It is disappointing to observe how many salespeople today have this attitude, always looking for an easy way out. They have somehow deluded themselves into believing that they're owed something. They whine and complain endlessly about their company, prospects, leads, coworkers, CRM, products, prices, and on and on. This is the brutal truth. In sales, you are owed nothing. You've got to get your ass up, go out there, and make things happen yourself. You have to pick up the phone, knock on doors, make presentations, and ask for the business. Sales is not a 9-to-5 job. There are no days off, no vacations, no lunch breaks. The great salespeople are skipping meals and doing deals, whatever it takes to win. This mindset is the difference between driving a Mercedes or a Hyundai, wearing a Rolex or a Timex, savoring a juicy bone-in prime cowboy ribeye in a 5-star restaurant, or surviving on ramen noodles. It's the difference between watching a 60-inch flat-screen ultra-high-def TV or sock puppets on a 12-inch flea market hand-me-down. In sales, there will always be something to complain about. That's just how it is. There will be obstacles, roadblocks, bad managers, rude prospects, product and service challenges, and changes to the commission plan. There will always be rejection. There will always be hard work. And you can sit around and complain and whine, but trust me, you are only hurting yourself. It is critical that you awaken from the delusion that somehow you're going to be able to make prospecting easier and come to grips with the truth. If you had a choice between prospecting and swimming with sharks, you would choose the sharks. The first step towards building an endless pipeline of new customers is acknowledging the truth and stepping back from your emotional need to find Easy Street. In sales, easy is the mother of mediocrity. And in your life, mediocrity is like a broke uncle. Once he moves into your house, it's nearly impossible to get him to leave. The next step is keeping it real. In sales, business, and life, there are only three things you can control: your actions, your reactions, and your mindset. That's it, nothing more. So instead of whining about the things that are out of your control, focus your energy on what you can control: your attitude, choices, emotions, goals, ambitions, dreams, desires, and discipline. Discipline is choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Stop wishing that things were easier and start working to become better. Developing a fanatical prospecting mindset starts with coming to grips with the fact that prospecting is hard, grueling, rejection-dense work. There's no sugarcoating it. Prospecting sucks. And this is why so many salespeople don't do it and instead spend their time and energy seeking silver bullets, secret formulas, and shortcuts, or ignore prospecting altogether until it's too late. However, if you dream of having a superstar income and living a superstar lifestyle, you must face the reality that prospecting sucks and get over it. To get what you want, you must prospect consistently. Jim Rohn once said that you shouldn't wish that things were easier. You should wish that you were better. That's the promise I make to you. When you adopt the techniques in this audiobook, you will get better. Will the techniques I teach you in this book make you a more efficient prospector? Absolutely. I will teach you how to get more prospecting done in less time so that you can get back to the fun part of selling: meeting customers, discovery, presentations, proposals, negotiation, closing deals, and cashing commission checks. Will the techniques I teach you in this audiobook make you a more effective prospector? You can count on it. I will teach you how to get the highest return on the time you invest in prospecting. You will learn how to balance prospecting using multiple methodologies and gain insight on how to engage qualified prospects in sales conversations and get them into your pipeline. You'll get better results, open doors you thought would always be closed to you, and ultimately close more sales. Will the techniques I teach you eliminate rejection, make prospecting more palatable, to use the words of one author who promises that prospecting can be fun and easy, make it painless, or remove the emotional and mental roadblocks that lead to prospecting procrastination? Nope, not a chance. I will not lie to you about prospecting. I am not going to promise you that I will make prospecting easier, eliminate rejection, or turn it into something that you will learn to love. Only you can make the decision to do the hard work, pick up the phone, approach strangers, and get past your own mental hang-ups. The choice to act, the choice to adopt a new mindset, is yours and yours alone. Here's another brutal truth. There is no easy button in sales. Prospecting is hard, emotionally draining work, and it's the price you have to pay to earn a high income. How do I know this? Well, I've been selling in the trenches my entire life. I've got trophy cases full of awards for my sales achievements. I started a successful multi-million dollar business from the ground up and survived and thrived because my only option was to pick up the phone and start dialing. Today, I'm considered a leading expert on sales because of these accomplishments, and people pay me big bucks just to teach them the things I know. I've made millions of dollars in commissions, bought big houses, boats, cars, and all of the toys a successful career in sales affords. All of this was courtesy of fanatical prospecting. All of it. Yet even though I know what brought me to the dance, even though I'm fully aware that prospecting generates my income, the truth is prospecting is still the hardest, most mentally exhausting part of my sales day. There is always something more fun I would rather do. And although I know it will never get easier, the one thing that separates me from most other people is this: I get over it and do it anyway. Chapter 2. Seven Mindsets of Fanatical Prospectors. We like to think of our champions and idols as superheroes who were born different from us, We don't like to think of them as relatively ordinary people who made themselves extraordinary. Carol S. Dweck, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines mindset as a mental attitude or inclination. Reference.com says it's a mood, disposition, inclination, or intention. Mindset is completely and absolutely within your control and drives both the actions you take and your reactions to the environment and people around you. Success leaves clues. Success leaves clues. Highly successful people, from ancient philosophers like Aristotle to modern-day thought leaders, have always made the point that there is little need to reinvent the wheel. If you study what successful people do, you find patterns, and when you duplicate those patterns, you'll be able to duplicate their success. Developing and maintaining a fanatical prospecting mindset is the ultimate key to success in sales. This mindset keeps you focused, persistent, and driven to open doors in the face of inevitable setbacks, challenges, and rejection. When you adopt the fanatical prospecting mindset, you'll grow in the face of adversity rather than shrink before it. I've spent a lifetime studying fanatical prospectors. Along the way, I discovered 7 core mindsets that define them. These are their success clues. Duplicate these mindsets, and you'll guarantee yourself success in filling your pipeline and crushing your number. Mindset 1. Optimistic and enthusiastic. Fanatical prospectors have a winning, optimistic mindset. They know that negative, bitter people with a victim mindset do not succeed in sales. Fanatical prospectors attack each day with enthusiasm, fired up, and ready to rock. They view each day as a fresh new opportunity to achieve. Because of this, they seize the day, brush past naysayers and complainers, and dive into prospecting with unequaled drive. And even on bad days, they reach deep inside and find enough stored enthusiasm to push themselves to keep going and make one more call. Mindset number 2, competitive. Fanatical prospectors view prospecting through the eyes of a fierce competitor. They are hardwired to win and will do whatever it takes to stay on top. They begin each day prepared to win the battle for the attention of the most coveted prospects and outwit and out-hustle their competitors at every turn. Mindset number 3, confident. Fanatical prospectors approach prospecting with confidence. They expect to win and believe that they are going to win. They have developed mental toughness and the ability to manage the disruptive emotions of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. They leverage confidence and self-control to persuade prospects to give up time and resources to engage in sales conversations. Mindset number 4, relentless. Fanatical prospectors have a high need for achievement. They do whatever it takes to reach their goal. They never, ever give up believing that persistence always wins. They use rejection as motivational fuel to get up and keep going with a determined belief that their next yes is right around the corner. Mindset number 5, thirsty for knowledge. Fanatical prospectors welcome feedback and coaching. They seek out every opportunity to learn and invest in themselves by voraciously consuming books, podcasts, audiobooks, blog posts, online training, live seminars, and anything else they believe will make them better. They have an unshakable belief that everything happens for a reason, and through this lens view setbacks as opportunities to learn and grow. Mindset number 6, systematic and efficient. Fanatical prospectors have the ability to execute with near robotic and systematic efficiency. They are skilled at their craft like a pro athlete. They protect the golden hours, block their time, and concentrate their power to tune out distractions and avoid disruptions. They systematically develop their prospect database to build more effective and targeted lists and squeeze every moment from each sales day. Mindset number 7, adaptive and flexible. Fanatical prospectors have acute situational awareness. Because of this, they are able to respond and adapt quickly to changing situations and circumstances. They leverage the 3 A's in their approach to prospecting: adopt, adapt, adept. They actively search out and adopt new ideas and best practices, then adapt them as their own, and work at it until they become adept at execution. fanatical prospectors are constantly trying new things and flexing with the world around them, whatever it takes to keep their pipeline full. They tend to be early adopters of new prospecting techniques, cutting-edge technology, and game-changing tactics. Look around you. I guarantee that you will find that the highest-earning sales professionals in your town, city, networking groups, and company are fanatical prospectors. From insurance to real estate to industrial products to software to mobile to autos to trucks to medical device and pharmaceutical, in every industry and every company, they share these seven mindsets. As you move forward through this audiobook, use these seven mindsets as a foundational reference point to assess where you have room to grow and further develop your fanatical prospecting mindset. Chapter 3. To cold call or not to cold call. To be or not to be, that is the question. William Shakespeare, Hamlet. It seems these days that everywhere you look, there is some so-called expert pontificating that cold calling is dead. This is usually an inbound marketing sales 2.0 social selling obsessed nitwit with an agenda and a vested interest in telling you that everything you thought you knew about sales prospecting is old school, except for their narrow version of new school. By vested interest, I mean they've got something they want to sell you that promises to fill your pipe with no fuss, no muss, no rejection, and little effort. These folks pander to all the salespeople who hate cold calling. You've seen the ads and headlines plastered everywhere. Never cold call again. Buy their system and you'll be set free of the burden of reaching out and touching prospective customers. With their top secret system, you'll happily and painlessly blog and post on social media sites, and prospects who are already 70% of the way through the sales process all by themselves will miraculously call you at exactly the right time. You'll answer the phone or check your email or social inbox and boom, close deal. It's easy, they tell you. Why work hard when with their little magic pill, you can just kick back, relax, and wait for the phone to ring? Welcome to Fantasy Island. Likewise, there are experts who bill themselves as cold calling queens and kings. They preach loudly that cold calling is the real key to prospecting success and offer top secret formulas that they say will eliminate rejection, cause your targeted prospects to swoon when you call, and guarantee your success. It all feels like the sales professional's twisted version of a Shakespearean play. To cold call or not to cold call? Well, I say, give me a break. The fine art of interrupting. So the gurus and thought leaders rage on over whether to cold call or not to cold call. But their bluster is really just an inane argument focused on the semantics of degrees. Cold, warm, smoldering, hot, or smoking hot. And it's mostly centered on how to avoid ever having to make an outbound call to a prospect again. This is why I'm going to let you in on the truth. The real truth that all of these so-called experts continue to ignore, and it has nothing to do with cold calling. Here's the deal. If you want sustained success in your sales career, if you want to maximize your income, then you've got to interrupt prospects. You'll have to pick up the phone, walk in the door, send an email or text message, or ping a prospect on LinkedIn, Twitter, Google+, or Facebook. And interrupt someone who is not expecting you to contact them and with whom you are not currently engaged in a sales discussion. You can argue the degrees, warm, hot, cold, whatever. It could be a prospect that filled out one of your web forms or downloaded your latest white paper. Maybe they just connected with you online. It could be an old customer you're trying to reactivate, a prospect in your defined database, a business that you've stopped by to qualify, or a prospect you met at a trade show. No matter the circumstance, the simple fact remains that you are interrupting their day to talk about something you want them to hear, do, or buy, and you do not have a scheduled appointment with them to have that conversation. You see, this is what gets missed in all the useless noise about how cold calling is dead. All the talking heads who promise an easy way out if you'll just join their little cult ignore the real reason that prospecting is so hard, no matter how you choose to do it. You see, it has never been about the degree of the call. It has always been about the willingness on the part of the salesperson to interrupt, which by the way, is why most salespeople protest so loudly and will do anything to avoid making an outbound call. It is so much easier to speak to someone who is calling you. The problem is, most companies can't create enough qualified inbound leads to keep the pipeline full. And by the way, the reps that work for companies that do generate enough inbound leads to keep the phones ringing are making far less than sales pros who are reaching out and interrupting prospects to create opportunities. Case in point, I have one client that spends $1.2 million a month to generate leads for their inbound sales team, and it's still not enough. Those reps are idle more than half the time. The only way they can achieve their number is to make targeted outbound calls. Another client has a robust inbound marketing and social selling process that generates a consistent stream of leads. However, the biggest and most lucrative prospects in their marketplace, the ones they need to sell to achieve their goals, rarely respond to inbound marketing and social selling efforts. They have no reason to engage this way. Their accounts are so lucrative, there's always a long line of salespeople knocking on the door. The only way to start a sales conversation with these high-value prospects is to interrupt them. Stop seeking the easy way out and start interrupting and engaging. It is difficult and awkward to interrupt someone's day. You can't control the response, and that unknown leaves us vulnerable and causes fear. Your prospect's initial reaction to being interrupted, usually a brush-off or reflex response in a not-so-friendly tone of voice, feels like rejection. As a human, it's natural to abhor rejection because we're social creatures at heart who desire to be accepted. These are the core reasons mediocre salespeople waste so much time making excuses not to prospect rather than just doing it. This year, one of my clients wanted to set up an outbound prospecting team to call and reactivate dormant customers. They hired a few young, inexperienced reps to make the calls. While training them, I observed the reps obsess over the unknowns, the what-ifs of these highly qualified warm calls. They wanted to be sure they had all their ducks in a row before they ever picked up the phone. They hesitated and agonized, planning to plan to plan to call. But these were not calls to strangers. We were calling people who had done business with the company in the past. There was history here. In fact, the calls were warm layups. Yet the two reps demonstrated the exact same anxiety I've observed in reps who were calling complete strangers, in degrees, very cold prospects. So I demonstrated by grabbing the list, picking up the phone, and dialing numbers. The customers who answered the phone were receptive and, other than being initially irritated at being interrupted, took time to talk to me about their next buying window. Over the course of 25 dials, three of these former customers indicated that they were ready to buy again. Once the reps learned how to interrupt these inactive customers and initiate sales conversations, they became phenomenally successful, going on to produce as a team $100,000 each week in new sales. This, by the way, became my client's most successful new sales initiative of the year, and they have expanded the outbound team and are now attacking the entire database. I observe salespeople demonstrate the same behavior with hot prospects, prospects that have been generated via inbound marketing efforts, referrals, or trade shows, and are extremely receptive. I even see the pattern when current customers are being called for cross-sell opportunities. These salespeople agonize, procrastinate, and stare at the phone, afraid to pick it up. A few months back, I was working with a group of insurance agents from one of the most well-known companies in the industry. They were tasked with calling a list of clients that were already doing business with their agency. The objective was simple: set an appointment with the client to review their coverages and ensure there were no gaps. The goal of the appointment was to find opportunities to cross-sell additional financial products where it made sense. This was a low-impact call to a current client, and the approach was simple. Hi, Roger. This is Jeb from XYZ Agency. The reason I'm calling is in reviewing your current coverages. I noticed that you have your cars and home insured with us, but we don't have an umbrella liability policy set up for you. I want to schedule a short meeting with you to review your current situation and identify any coverage gaps that could create a risk for you and your family. How about we get together Thursday morning at 11 a.m.? Simple. Yet the agents had come up with every excuse in the book for not making the calls. One even complained to me that he didn't sign up for cold calling. I politely explained that calling a current client, someone who is already doing business with you, familiar with you, and most likely to take your call, was about as far from cold calling as Perth, Australia is from New York City. Just afraid to make the call, not the cold call. Today, most people, including the experts and the insurance agent I just mentioned, have no idea what a cold call really is. They think that any outbound call or visit is a cold call. They've turned the fear and anxiety they feel about interrupting prospects into a hobgoblin and relabeled it cold calling. This has provided the perfect excuse to sit and wait for prospects to interrupt them instead, and of course complain about not having enough leads. You see, it's not the cold call that's hard, it's the interrupting. Most salespeople are just afraid to make the call, not the cold call. Now for sure, some prospects will be more receptive than others. A prospect who fills out your web form will be easier to speak to than a prospect you are contacting with no pretense. A prospect who is familiar with your name from social media may be more engaged than a prospect you found via a Google alert and contacted through their switchboard. A prospect who has a contract expiring with your competitor will be more likely to engage in a conversation than a prospect who has just signed a new contract. If you are calling a former customer, you'll likely receive a better reception than from a prospect who has never purchased from you or your company. Interrupting your prospect's day is a fundamental building block of robust sales pipelines. No matter your prospecting approach, if you don't interrupt relentlessly, your pipeline will be anemic. So the question is not to cold call or not to cold call. Instead, the question is how to strategically balance prospecting across the various prospecting channels to give you a competitive advantage when interrupting prospects in the crowded competitive marketplace. Chapter 4. Adopt a balanced prospecting methodology. Poor people choose now. Rich people choose balance. T. Harv Eker, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. But Jeb, Janice said emphatically, I'm so much better in person. It was a refrain I'd heard hundreds of times from salespeople who were quick to tell me that they were so much better at one type of prospecting than another. The I'm so much better at excuse is just that, an excuse to avoid other prospecting techniques that salespeople find unpalatable. More often than not, it's an excuse to avoid phone prospecting. The pipeline always reveals the truth. Salespeople who gravitate to a single prospecting methodology seriously suboptimize their productivity. I can guarantee when the words, but you don't understand, I'm so much better at, come out of a salesperson's mouth in response to a prospecting technique I've just introduced, that salesperson is underperforming against their number and cheating themselves out of thousands of dollars in commissions. The fallacy of putting all your eggs in one basket. Imagine that a friend comes to you seeking advice on investing for retirement. They explain that they went to a financial seminar where an investment guru presented a sure thing stock. The guru advised that they immediately move their entire nest egg into this stock. What would you tell them? Well, if you were a good friend, you would be incredulous. Putting your money into a single stock is stupid. You'll lose your retirement money, you'd exclaim. But the guy says this investment is a sure thing, your friend responds emphatically. He says I can make a ton of money. You grab him by the collar and shake him. Are you kidding me? Are you a moron? There are no sure things in investing. That's why sane people do something called diversification. They spread their money out across multiple investments to reduce their risk. This guy is feeding you a line of bull. If you follow this advice, you're courting financial disaster. In sales, consistently relying on a single prospecting methodology, usually the one you feel generates the least amount of resistance and rejection at the expense of others, consistently generates mediocre results. However, balancing your prospecting regimen based on your industry, product, company, territory, and tenure in your territory gives you a statistical advantage that almost always leads to higher performance and income over the long term. Not unlike investing, there's an expert or so-called sales guru on every corner preaching to salespeople that their method is the one way to prospecting salvation. They push phone prospecting, email prospecting, social selling, trade shows, referrals, networking, or inbound marketing as the one true way while disparaging all other forms, usually by labeling the forms they don't like, cold calling to create the ultimate turnoff. Do it my way, they'll tell you, and you'll get unlimited qualified leads, all for only $999. These promises and your own justifications that I'm just so much better at sound good in a seminar, book, webinar, article, and in your own head. But in the real world, where real salespeople actually had to engage prospects, make a number, feed families, pay mortgages, and buy food, it rarely works out over the long haul. Avoid the lunacy of one size fits all. Think of me as your friend, grabbing you by the collar, shaking you into reality. Putting all your prospecting eggs into a single basket is stupid. It's career suicide. Using the I'm better at excuse to run from prospecting techniques that you don't like is short-sighted. The foundation of a winning prospecting strategy is balance. The very best salespeople have mastered balanced prospecting in the same manner that wealthy people have mastered balance in their investment portfolios. Balance simply means that to get the best return from your prospecting time investment, there should be a mixture of telephone, in-person, email, social selling, text messaging, referrals, networking, inbound leads, trade shows, and cold calling. The relative distribution of your time investment in each prospecting methodology should be based on your unique situation. There isn't a one-size-fits-all formula for balanced prospecting. Every territory, industry, product, service, and prospect base is different, as are the demands of the sales plan, economic drivers, and the strategy and direction of the business, all of which are certain to change over time. It's also important to have a clear understanding of where you are against your goals, because that may also determine the appropriate mix of prospecting channels. For example, in some industries, or with certain products or services, if you spend a majority of your time cold calling rather than professional networking, you will fail. In others, if you don't prospect in person, you will die a quick and painful death. In some verticals, referrals are everything, and in others, trade shows deliver the highest quality prospects. Social selling might be a primary driver in a consulting business, while inbound marketing might carry a heavier weight with certain software products. If you work for a large company, you may have a ready-made database of prospects, and the telephone and email are the most efficient and effective channels for getting indoors. If you work for a small company or a startup, you'll need to balance your prospecting to both build your database with long-term opportunities and fill the pipe with deals that you can close now. The key is designing your prospecting regimen based on what works best in your industry and with your product, service, deal complexity, customer base, and tenure. In some cases, this may even be market or geographic specific. For instance, in high-density zip codes like Manhattan or downtown Chicago, you may be more efficient and effective prospecting in person rather than via phone. Tenure in your territory also matters. If you are new to sales, new to your company, or have just taken over a new territory, your balance of prospecting techniques will likely need to be different than that of a tenured rep who has been in the same territory for years. In fact, this is how many rookies get themselves into big trouble. They see Joe, the 20-year veteran, generating million-dollar months with what appears to be little effort. Then they emulate this behavior. On their way to failure, they miss the fact that Joe spent years qualifying his database, and now he is tuned in to his prospects' buying windows and knows exactly when to engage them. The rookies fail to understand that Joe's success was paid for in advance with years of fanatical prospecting. If you are brand new in your territory, company, or industry, you must be prepared to pick up the phone and do lots of dialing or hit the streets and do lots of knocking. You may have to do a good bit of cold calling to qualify and build your database. On the other hand, if you've been in your territory or industry for years, it is likely that pure cold calling will become a smaller portion of your prospecting balance, while referrals, social selling, lead nurturing, and timely calls to qualified prospects who are moving into the buying window will become your primary focus. Look around you. Find out what the top salespeople in your organization are doing to generate qualified prospects. Then do what they do. The sales pros who are bringing home the big commission checks know the formula. Beware, though. If you sell to small and mid-market accounts and adopt the same prospecting regimen as the regional account executives or enterprise account managers, you'll likely fail. Striking a balanced approach with prospecting is the most effective means of filling your sales pipeline, no matter your industry, product, or service. With few exceptions, the combination of multiple techniques and channels is the most effective path to building a winning pipeline. Chapter 5. The more you prospect, the luckier you get. Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy. Dale Carnegie. The unrelenting daily imperative for every salesperson is keeping the pipeline full of qualified prospects. Top sales professionals spend as much as 80% of their time on prospecting qualifying activities for one important reason. They want to get up to the plate often and put together a consistent string of singles, doubles, triples, and a few home runs. There are three core laws of prospecting that will ensure that you are moving a steady stream of prospects into the pipe. Law 1, the universal law of need. Law 2, the 30-day rule. And Law 3, the law of replacement. In this chapter, we discuss the implications of these universal laws of sales success. You will also learn why ignoring these laws causes sales slumps and how to get out of a slump if you find yourself in one. The universal law of need. It's when pipelines are empty that salespeople find themselves face to face with the universal law of need. The universal law of need governs desperation. It states that the more you need something, the less likely it is that you will get it. This law comes into play in sales when lack of activity has left your pipeline depleted. When all your hope for survival rests on one, two, or even a handful of accounts, the probability of failure increases exponentially. Consider Jerry. His prospecting is inconsistent at best. Several of the deals he was counting on and put into his forecast pushed off decisions to next quarter or were lost to a competitor. Because of this, he only has a handful of viable opportunities left in his pipeline. Now, with the end of the quarter looming, Jerry is under tremendous pressure. He desperately needs one of these deals to close. As Jerry becomes more desperate to close anything, he comes face to face with a cruel reality. Desperation magnifies and accelerates failure and virtually guarantees that he won't close the deals that he must have to survive. There are several reasons why desperation increases the probability that Jerry will fail when he needs to succeed the most. The first is that desperation taps into the downside of the law of attraction, which states that what you focus your thoughts on, you are most likely to get. When you are desperate, you no longer focus your thoughts on what is required for success. Instead, you focus on what will happen to you if you don't get what you need, thereby attracting failure. The next problem with desperate need is that other people can sense your desperation. Through your actions, tone of voice, words, and body language, you send the message that you are desperate and weak. Prospects and customers naturally repel salespeople who are needy, desperate, and pathetic. Instead, they gravitate towards sales professionals who exude confidence. When you reek of the foul stench of desperation, people don't want to do business with you. Finally, when you are desperate, you become emotional and act illogically, which causes you to make poor decisions. These poor decisions exacerbate an already bad situation, leaving you stressed, miserable, and digging out of a deeper hole. In contrast to Jerry, Sandra is consistently prospecting, networking, gaining referrals, and systematically moving her accounts through her pipeline. Her hard work has resulted in more than 30 opportunities in her funnel. Will they all close? Not likely. However, Sandra feels a little pressure. She is consistently replacing the prospects that fall out of her pipeline, and as a result, her sales have been regular, predictable, and on target. She knows exactly what she will close tomorrow, next week, and next month, and she has earned her sales manager's trust because she keeps her forecast promises. Under little pressure, she gets a huge boost when several of the accounts in her pipeline that were long shots suddenly go her way. she blows away her quota and earns a huge bonus. Sandra didn't need this extra sales gravy, but because she was disciplined in her activity, it fell right in her lap. The 30-day rule. Hey, Jeb, got a minute? The voice on the line was familiar. It was Greg, a sales pro who lives in my town, and we've known each other for years. Sure, Greg, what's up? Well, I was wondering if you might have a minute to talk. I was stuck in traffic on the parking lot called I-285 in Atlanta and had nowhere to go, so Greg started telling me a story. He explained that for some reason, nothing he was working on was closing. He was getting frustrated, feeling that he'd lost his edge, and looking for tips that would help him get some deals closed. It was early March, and he was worried that he was going to end up having a bad quarter. Slumps can quickly erode confidence and create a feeling of desperation. So I asked, Greg, just by chance, are you calling on the same prospects over and over? And are these prospects the same ones you were trying to close in February? Yes, they keep putting me off. I was wondering if you might have some closing techniques or something I can say to get them to pull the trigger. Greg, this is going to sound like a weird question, so bear with me. How much were you working in December? Well, we had a lot going on in December, and I didn't get in as much time as I'd hoped. We also took a couple of weeks off at the end of the year. You know how it is around the holidays. So you weren't doing as much prospecting as usual, I asked. There was silence on the other end of the line, and then Greg said, Oh crap, Jeb, the 30-day rule. I didn't even see it. Greg didn't have a closing problem. He had a prospecting problem. He'd stopped prospecting in December, and it was biting him in the rear in March. However, because his activity gap happened way back in December, he didn't immediately connect it to his slump in March. To him, it felt like he was having a problem closing. Because he treated his slump as a closing technique issue rather than a prospecting issue, he continued to call on stale, dead-end prospects over and over again, unwilling to mentally admit that those deals were never going to close. And that's when he started to dig the hole even deeper. The irony was, as his frustration at not closing sales increased, he stopped prospecting altogether. Instead, he just called the same old prospects over and over again, deluding himself that this was prospecting activity. This death spiral is common and happens to the best salespeople. Because it's hard to find the energy and motivation to start prospecting when you feel like a loser. As this cycle continued, Greg failed to replace the stale prospects with new opportunities, became more desperate, hit a slump, and started looking for a silver bullet that would solve his problem. That's when he called me, looking for top secret closing techniques that would save him. In December, Greg stopped prospecting because it was easy to become distracted during the holidays with things that are way more fun than prospecting. 90 days later, his pipeline was stale and stalled. This is what happens when you ignore the 30-day rule. The 30-day rule is almost always in play in B2B and high-end B2C sales. In shorter cycle transactional sales, the 30-day rule may become the 1-week rule, but the concept remains the same. The 30-day rule states that the prospecting you do in this 30-day period will pay off for the next 90 days. It is a simple yet powerful universal rule that governs sales, and you ignore it at your peril. When you internalize this rule, it will drive you to never put prospecting aside for another day. The implication of the 30-day rule is simple. Miss a day of prospecting, and it will tend to bite you sometime in the next 90 days. Miss a week, and you will feel it in your commission check. Miss the entire month, and you will tank your pipeline, fall into a slump, and wake up 90 days later, desperate, feeling like a loser, with no clue how you ended up there. The Law of Replacement. Rick sat in front of his vice president of sales. He'd made big promises on his forecast, predicting a record month. Now he was apologizing for a huge miss. He tried to explain how the sales they were counting on failed to materialize for one reason or another. And in a desperate Hail Mary, he pointed out that in the two previous months of the quarter, his team had delivered ahead of the forecast. But his excuses fell on deaf ears. Rick came to me looking for answers. He said, "My team let me down, and I can't let that happen again. The one thing my vice president expects is that we make the forecast. How do I keep my team from quitting on me in the future?" I asked Rick to walk me through his team's activity over the past few months since he had taken over as sales manager. He explained that when he first started working with the team, the pipe was weak. He'd pushed his team hard to prospect and get it filled with opportunities. "And it worked," he said emphatically. 2 months ago, we had the best month we've had in 2 years. The next month was even better. That's why I don't understand what happened this month. It's like everybody just gave up." So I asked, "Rick, were your salespeople prospecting at the same intensity during those two big months as they did when you were pushing them to fill the pipeline?" "No, once we got the pipe full of opportunities, we got out there and started closing deals." So I asked, "What does your pipeline look like for next month?" "Well, that's another thing I had to explain to my vice president. We've been so busy working on closing deals that we've let it get weak again." Problem identified. I had to break the news to Rick that his salespeople had not given up on him. Instead, he had allowed his team to jump on the classic sales roller coaster because he failed to heed the law of replacement. Here's a math question. Becky has 30 prospects in her pipeline. Her closing percentage is 10%. She closes one deal. How many prospects remain in her pipe? Most people answer 29. But the real answer is 20. So why 20? Well, here's the math. Becky has a 1 in 10 probability of closing a deal. That means, on average, she will close only one deal out of 10 prospects she puts in her pipeline. The net result is, when she closes one deal, the other 9 are no longer viable prospects. This means her pipeline will be reduced by 10 prospects rather than 1. She must now replace those 10 prospects to keep her pipeline full. The law of replacement can be a difficult concept to understand because it's a statistical formula. You may, in fact, argue, how could we possibly know that the other 9 prospects are no longer closable? To do so, though, is missing the point. We are talking about statistical probabilities based on Becky's average closing ratio. The stats tell us, over the long run, that she must replace those prospects to keep her pipeline healthy and full. The law of replacement is a critical concept to internalize because failure to heed this law is the reason salespeople get on and stay on roller coasters. Up and down, until one day they get so far down that they can't get back up. The lesson the law of replacement teaches is that you must constantly be pushing new prospects into your pipeline so that you're replacing the opportunities that will naturally fall out. And you must do so at a rate that matches or exceeds your closing ratio. This is where a fanatical prospecting mindset really begins to pay off. The anatomy of a sales slump. 99% of sales slumps can be linked directly to a failure to prospect. The anatomy of a sales slump looks something like this. At some point, you ignored the 30-day rule and stopped prospecting. And because you stopped prospecting, you ignored the law of replacement and your pipeline stalls. Because the prospects in your pipe are dead, you stop closing deals. As you experience this failure, there is an erosion of your confidence. Your crumbling confidence creates negative self-talk, and that further degrades your confidence, wrecks your enthusiasm, and causes you to feel like a loser. Feeling like a loser saps your energy and motivation for prospecting activity. Because you don't feel like prospecting, you call the same old dead-end prospects over and over and get nowhere. The lack of prospecting activity makes your already stale pipe even worse. You start hoping for silver bullets, but because hope is not a strategy, nothing changes. You sink deeper into your slump, get desperate, and then bam, you get slapped by the universal law of need, and your sales days become depressing black holes of misery. Early in my sales career, I hit a bad slump. The previous quarter, I'd closed a ton of new business and then allowed myself to get caught up in the administrative work required to set up those new customers. The real truth is, I took the easy way out and justified my lack of prospecting with admin work. 90 days later, I woke up to a new quarter and a sales manager in my face demanding that I get my sales back on track. It was my upfront and close experience with the brutal reality that in sales, it's not about what you have sold, but rather what you sell today. My sales manager pulled me aside and explained the 30-day rule to me. He pointed out that I was in a precarious situation, and my bone-dry pipeline was testament to this